Father, we do thank you today that, God, we can be here. And I do pray, Lord, that as we look at a challenge that Jesus gives to the religious people of his generation, I pray, Lord, that it would impact us, that it would cause us to stop and Lord, evaluate where we're at, evaluate our relationship. That, God, there's nothing wrong with us stopping and taking inventory and looking at our lives and looking at our hearts. So I pray that this would impact us that way, that Lord, and if we need to change some things, we would change. And God, if we need to just rejoice in our relationship, we would rejoice. But Lord, I don't want us to just go away just hearing words and reading a Bible passage and leaving and saying, oh, that was nice. But God, do something in our hearts and our lives today. So we do give you this time. We ask that you would remove any distractions that might be going on, things that might hinder us from hearing you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, since we haven't been in Matthew for a little bit, kind of catching us up, remember Jesus is up in Galilee doing ministry. He's fed it records 5,000 men, so I'm saying between 15 and 20,000 people. That's taken place. The guys have gone across the sea, and he walked on water out to them, and you can go back and find those messages and listen to them. But they're doing that, and now he's still up in Galilee, and he's doing ministry. And now today, I really like this part. I like this part for a couple reasons. One, I love it when Jesus busts the Pharisees. I just like it when that happens. But number two, every time I read this area of scripture, it really challenges me and makes me want to stop and think, where am I with the Lord? And what's going on in my life and my heart personally with the Lord? And then also praying about the fellowship and where we're at and what's going on. Jesus is going to talk to these guys about just becoming traditional and just following tradition. Because that's what had happened. Listen, man, God called the Jews and he brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, and took them across and sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness, got them where he wanted to go, gave them, a way to live and a way to trust him and a way to figure it out, and they totally messed it up. And by the time of Jesus, they had taken the great things that God had given them and they had twisted them around and they made them more like, we're going to keep our tradition. Well, look at verse 1. It says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now that's kind of weird. Number one, these guys came all the way from Jerusalem. Jesus is up in Galilee. They came from Jerusalem. They came a long way just to ask him if they wash their hands before they ate. I thought my mom was bad. These guys are fanatical, right? And they came all that way. So you have a group of religious people who came. Now, I know, and I say it often, that Christianity's not a religion. That's not really true. Christianity is a religion. Whether we like it or not, it is. Because religion definition is a worship of God. So we are. But I know why we say that. We want people not to be religious or just be traditional. And listen, by this time, the Jews had taken the law. And remember, God gave them 613 laws. And hey, if you're doing the Bible reading, we're going to get into the law pretty quick, right? And that's where a lot of people drop off. So here's what I'm going to challenge you this time. As you go through the law, try and grasp it and try and understand it this way. It wasn't that God was trying to so much as fix them, and it wasn't that God was trying to give them so much a healthy way to live. You know, it always cracks me up when people say, well, you know, God didn't have them eat this because it's not a healthy food. That's not what he was doing. Here's what God was doing. He was giving them something around which they could trust him. He was saying, trust me, don't do this. And they could either do it or not. And listen, that's the way this thing called, a relationship with him works. God wants us to trust him. And here's the problem. When we get into different traditions, we cease trusting God and we walk by sight. And we walk by something that we can do in the flesh and not have to trust and walk in the faith. and walk in faith. And listen, man, that destroys everything. So these guys, by this time, listen, the Mishnah had been developed, and then later on comes the Talmud, which is a collection of other writings besides the Mishnah, and the Jews have volumes and volumes and volumes of what they're trying to define what to do. And God, you know, I think it's pretty complicated. God gave 613 laws. Listen, I can't keep track of 613, much less volumes. But the 613 are boiled down to 10, and the 10 are boiled down to 2, and the 2 is boiled down to 1. And listen, if you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, you're gonna be doing the other stuff. And so they come and they say, hey, your guys aren't washing their hands according to the tradition of the elders, not according to the law, according to our tradition. Now, if you've ever been to Israel or you've studied it much, hey, these guys were fanatical. Listen, they're not washing their hands for hygiene. Like my mom wanted me to wash my hands so you didn't get germs, right? And that's why I think most moms just do it. My wife is a germaphobe. And sometimes it drives me crazy. You know, she's doing this. Sometimes I just want to go lick a door handle. Say, there you go, dear. It's like, move on. So she's just, I think she saved me from a lot of stuff by being that. But listen, man, she's always all about, hey, you know, she's always handing me, hand sanitizer or a wipe or something, you know. And I won't go into detail, but it sometimes... So I get the hygiene part, but this isn't about hygiene. It has nothing to do with hygiene. If you've ever been to Israel, they have places, even in restaurants today and at the Wailing Wall, where they can wash. And it's a ceremonial washing. If you look at the basins that they have in those restaurants, they're funky. There's more germs in there than on their hands. And so they have a little cup there. And hey, at that generation, they had measured it out. It was an eggshell and a half of water. Now, I don't know who carries around eggshells to figure out how much water to use. But they would pour the water, and they had to pour it so it would go down, and it would hold their hands like this, and it would roll off their wrists. It couldn't go down their arm. Had to go off their wrist. Then they would turn the other way, and they would pour it on there, and then it would rub like this, and then it rub like that, and then it rub like this, and then they're fine. They can eat. Now, they don't use any soap. They just use water. So, listen, it's a tradition. And Jesus and the boys are not doing it. They're just eating. They're just jumping in. So they come, and they say, hey, Jesus, How come your guys don't follow our tradition and wash their hands when they eat bread? So Jesus, a typical Jew, look what Jesus does in verse 3. He answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? So here's the thing. Usually a Jew, if you ask a Jew a question, if they don't want to answer the question, they're going to answer you with a question. And then you're going to go question and question and question and question and question and question. So Jesus, listen, he answers them, I think, with a much more powerful question. Theirs had to deal with a ritual, an external exercise to make you look holy. Jesus' question to them is an internal examination of whether you're walking with the Lord or not. He says, hey, how come your guys use tradition to supersede the Bible? And that happens. If you follow church history, I'm not even talking about outside the church. You follow church history and people, and listen, we all have tradition. Some people go, we don't at Calvary. Sure we do. We usually meet. We meet on Saturday night. We meet on Sunday morning. Do it every week and Thursday night. We usually on Sunday or on the weekends, we do 4 songs, have greeting, do another song. Hey, we have a tradition. And listen, Jesus isn't against tradition. It's only when tradition becomes more important to you than the Word of God. And that's generally what happens. People let those traditions come in and let them be part of their life. And then all of a sudden, the tradition is more important. You will break and violate the Bible, the Word of God, in order to keep your tradition. And that's what Jesus is asking them. Hey, you guys, you think it's bad because we don't wash hands? What about you guys? And then he gives them one example. In verse 4, he says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, And he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Now, in Mark says that they used a term. There was a term they would use for this. It was called Corban. And if they had something valuable, they could declare, and they could declare Corban. And Corban meant, I've dedicated that to God, and you can't have it, mom and dad, or anybody. But here's the crazy thing. But I get to keep it for God. So you dedicate it to God, but it's still your possession. And then they could use it, and then later on, they could declare Corban again, and somehow this magical word would, first of all, it would dedicate it to God, and then the second time, it would undedicate it to God, and they would get it back. In other words, it was a bunch of hokey stuff. And Jesus says, you guys are doing that so that you can violate the word of God. Now, I gotta imagine those guys were a little upset, right? Hey, these are religious guys, man. They're all in with what they're doing. The sad thing is, they're not all in with God, but they're all in their tradition, and they're doing things. And I don't know how many of you, I grew up in a traditional church. It did tradition stuff, to this day, drives me nuts when I see it. And I think all of that is, you don't even have any spiritual connection. It's sort of like this. How many of you this morning singing the songs were just singing? Or were you worshiping? Did the words mean something? Was it something in your heart? Or were you just following something on a wall there projected and just saying words and they were empty? We gotta be careful, don't we? And so Jesus here is telling them, you guys are doing that. And then he gets a little bit further. Verse 7, he kind of punches them. He says, hypocrites. That's intense, right? So this is the first time that word used from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And he calls them, he lets them know, you guys are hypocrites. Now, I think most of us know, and if you've read your Bible much or done much study, the word hypocrite in the original language came out of the whole idea of the actors on stage. And in that generation on stage, you wouldn't do a lot of makeup and a lot of, you know, change. They would just hold up a mask. You would hold up a mask in front of you, do your part, and then if you were going to do another part, you'd put that mask down and hold up another mask. And so, in other words, you were pretending to be something you're not. And that's what a hypocrite is, right? And so Jesus calls these guys hypocrites. And, you know, I honestly believe hypocrites are worse than unbelievers. Because they have this air, this sense about them that they're really holy and they're really walking with God when they're not. And they make everybody else feel a couple steps lower. You ever been around those people? Where you are down here and I am up here. I always want to puke. Sorry, it drives me crazy. And then here's the thing, hypocrites always hate it when you bust them with the word of God. They get real uptight. So Jesus, number one, you know, I'm always fascinated when people wanna look at, you know, quote Christianity. And for some people on the outside, they think somehow this thing called Christianity makes us all Jesus and we do everything that Jesus would do and we're perfect. Anybody in here perfect? No, don't raise your hand, please. See me afterwards if you're perfect, we'll talk about it. But listen, we're not perfect. And if you're really a born-again believer, you know that. You know you're not perfect. You know you're on a journey, you know, you hope you're progressing. You hope you're going forward and not backward. But hypocrites think they've arrived and they're there. And listen, man, when you come after them, they're fighting people. And so Jesus, and then people say, Jesus never says anything bad. This is pretty heavy, right? I think calling someone to their face, like very rarely have I ever gotten up in front of people to teach and go, hey, you bunch of hypocrites. I usually don't do that. Jesus did. Listen, man, he just called those guys out, didn't he? And listen, now he tells them why. He doesn't just throw that out there. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Listen, again, that same attitude and that same heart is they're taking what God said, and they're changing it, and they're making it a tradition of man, and then they're allowing that to supersede Scripture and be above Scripture. And listen, that goes on all the time. Definitely goes on in the cults. And oftentimes we look at that and we poo-hoo it, but how many of us are in that same place in our hearts? Maybe we're not doing it outwardly, you know, maybe we're not way out there, but in our hearts, man. And again, just challenging you today, when we were worshiping, were you worshiping or were you singing? Because this is a huge difference. I was going to say anybody can sing, but that's not true. Like, I can't sing. I can try to sing, but I can't sing. But if you're just letting words roll off your lips, like Jesus is saying here, quoting Isaiah, man, you're hurting, and you need to know it, and you need to admit it. And Jesus says, listen, man, the issue is plain and simple. It's the heart. The issue is the heart. Where is your heart at? Not where you at externally, because again, tradition makes you look good externally. You come before people and they go, ooh, you're so holy. But the real relationship, oftentimes, we can look worse than the world because of the things we're doing and the things we're confessing and the things going on. It's the issue of the heart. So where is your heart? Listen, I wrote down a few scriptures about the heart just to think about this as we get ready to move on here. But I want to read some of these to you. Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe with your heart first, right? And then in Colossians, he says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then Jesus said in Matthew 22, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and this is the first and greatest commandment. And 2 Corinthians, I just threw this one in there. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, all of that is about the heart. Every aspect of this thing that we do when we gather together is an issue of the heart. And where is our heart at? And here's the crazy thing, only you know where your heart is at. And only you can answer that. Somebody else can't answer for you. Spouses can't answer for you. Sometimes they want to, but they can't. I watch you guys nudging each other and poking each other as I'm teaching. Stop it. Hey, you know what's going on. And then here's the crazy thing, Jeremiah. Listen to what Jeremiah says about the heart. Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Wow. Do you understand that about yourself? I think it's important that we do, and not play games. Now, that's kind of scary. Let me read another scripture, because if your heart's desperately wicked, and who can know it, and you're messed up, Psalm 119 says this, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do I take care of this desperately wicked heart? I hide God's word in there. That's why we emphasize at the beginning of every year and through the year, read through the Bible, get the word of God. The word of God is gonna wash and cleanse you and get your heart in the place it needs to be. It's the word that changes us. And so listen, man, Jesus attacks these guys and says, hey, here's where you at. And in verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, now here's what I think is to me, here's where it gets fascinating. Remember, Jesus is up in Galilee. He's fed the 20,000. They've been following him around, right? He's got the disciples. So a multitude is a whole bunch of people, right? I think thousands of people, and they're still following him. The Pharisees, you know, I kind of divide them up. The Pharisees are over here, not you guys over here, but listen, and they came and they attacked him, and Jesus had a conversation. Now, check this out. Jesus calls the multitude, and he says, now I want to talk to you guys, because I'm done talking to those guys. Why? They're not going to listen anyway. So now I want to talk to the multitude. I want to talk to you. So kind of gather that. And, you know, sometimes it'd be great if we had a film of this, right? But listen, he's gathered them. He's bringing them around. And here's what he says. Hear and understand. When Jesus says hear and understand, you better pay attention, right? He's going to tell you something important. Listen to what he says. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth, this defiles a man. Now, sometimes something will happen in our life and we just kind of blurt something out, right? He's not talking about that. He's talking about what you say. Because here's what we know. We know because we live in a generation of computer stuff, right? Garbage in, garbage out. What are your conversations like? What are they about? What do you talk with other people about? What do you tell other people? And I think even taking it a step further, how do you live your life? You see, are you living as someone who's on this journey with Jesus, enjoying it? You know, I'm not saying we should go around, you know, like in robes with our hands all folded and acting all holy. People would stay away from us. They'd call us freaks, right? And some of us are called freaks anyway. But what is coming out of you? Because here's what I know in my life. Whatever I put in me comes out of me, not physically. Whatever I allow to enter through my eye gate, through my ear gate, comes out. And saints, if you're in the Word and you're in fellowship and you're hanging out with Jesus, good things are going to come out. I remember years ago, I went up in the Wachuca Mountains, and I don't know how many of you know, there was a little community up there way back. And it was called Sawmill, and it was a little community of Christians. And I went up, and there was a 90-year-old man up there, John. And we met John, and he was still living up in this little cabin. And we're talking to him. And I was amazed, man. I sat down to talk to this man, and 90% of what came out of his mouth was Scripture. And he wasn't quoting Scripture. He wouldn't say, no, let me tell you what, you know. He's just like talking, and it's Scripture. And I'm sitting there, I'm a pretty new believer, and I'm fascinated with this guy. And I just like, I just hope he talks for a long time. And then I remember, because he called us boys, I always like it when someone calls me a boy, right? He goes, hey, you boys. He says, do you think Jesus is coming back soon? And I got to be really honest. I said, for you, yes. Like, you're 90. Yeah, so I didn't say it out loud. But that's what I thought. But man, what a sweet man. And you know what he told us? He shared with us his pastor when he lived up there, when that place was flourishing and it was a sawmill and stuff was going on. He said his pastor in his little church had the entire New Testament memorized. Wow. So listen, man, Jesus is saying, what's coming out of your mouth? Hey, it's not what you eat, people. Now, sometimes what you eat does come back out of your mouth, but that's a whole different thing, right? But it's not what you eat. Listen, it's not this physical thing. It's this spiritual thing. So then the disciples get a little freaked out. Look at verse 12. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? I mean, that always cracks me up. It's like the disciples going, Jesus, shh. Like, you really offended them. It's like, do you know you offended those guys? It's like, he's Jesus. Of course he knows he offended them. But it's kind of funny, isn't it? They're like uptight. And Jesus answered, listen, verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. And let them alone. They are the blind leading, or they are the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So listen, Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, you just need to chill out. I think he's saying a couple things. Number one, these waves of stuff come and go through the church. And what he's saying is God will uproot it. God will take care of it. And it's not, listen, I'm not saying we should just not pay any attention. I think if it's in front of us, we should address it. But listen, it's going to come and go. In my walk with the Lord the last 30 plus years, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff blow through the church, you know. It's going to be this one. And, you know, even now someone was telling me something, I go, yeah, and that's going to go right on through. Why? Because the Lord didn't plan it. And it's just going to keep on going. And then when he says, let them alone, he's not saying, hey, just let them do that. Here's what he's saying. You remove yourself. Do not let them influence you. You get away from them. I think it's vitally important, especially in our generation where everything's at our fingertips. Be careful. And I pray that you have enough of the Word of God in you where you hear something and you know it's wrong, that you're going to quit listening to it or quit watching it or quit whatever, however you're doing it. Listen, man, we have podcasts, YouTube channels, and you know, we use all of those things. Even here, we got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got all this stuff going on. We got all this information 24/7. Are you careful on what you're listening to and what you're allowing to go in? Or are you mesmerized by something? Somebody says something, they do it in such a way, you go, "Whoa, that is so cool." And it's a bunch of lies. Be careful. And that's when Jesus says, let them alone. And then he says, hey, watch them for a while. When the blind lead the blind, they bump into things, right? Whenever I read this, I think way back when we were doing missionary work in Mexico, Eric Powell, the person who discipled me and who I worked with for a while, we got up one morning really early. We're in this village and we wanted to leave early and it was before sunrise. It was still dark and we get up to leave and I go, I don't think it's a good idea to walk in the dark across a field, just saying, without a flashlight. And he goes, we'll be fine, Pat. And I go, really? Okay, I'll follow you. Sure enough, both of us ended up in a ditch. I'm thinking, Eric, you should know the Word of God. And the blind lead the blind, we both go in a ditch. So listen, don't follow those people. I'm not saying don't follow Eric. I'm saying don't follow. So just saying, hey, remove yourself. And now, listen, now he gets down to the nitty gritty. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Now, listen, I don't think Peter totally missed what Jesus said. I think Peter couldn't believe what Jesus just said. Do you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes somebody says something, you go, I don't think you really meant that, right? Because it's kind of one of those things that you're trying to get your head around. And Peter's trying to understand. And listen, I believe Peter knows. He said, get away from them. They're going to blow by. It's not what goes in your mouth. I think he's grasping that, but he's just thinking, really? Really? So Peter says, Jesus, could you explain this? So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. Jesus says, it's real simple, man. It's not an external, you know, just washing of physical filth away from you. It's an internal moral issue going on in your heart. And we got to understand that. We got to get that in our hearts. And again, you know, some of you might think, man, you're just preaching to the choir. Am I? Or have you let a little bit of traditionalism creep in over the Word of God? Man, we all got to be careful. Listen, I don't think any of us are immune from this. I don't think any of us can say, because once again, Jeremiah 17 says, your heart's deceitfully wicked. And I don't know about you guys, but I think it's a lot easier to walk by sight than it is by faith. I think it's a lot easier for me to make a list of rules and regulations and follow those than just trust Jesus along the way. Yeah. And that's why we do it. And that's why you find, you know, denominations and different things making these rules. And here's what you do to be a real Christian. Here's how they act. And they follow all of these traditions. And the Word of God is over in some corner gathering dust. And Jesus is challenging. So he challenges us the same way. And again, whatever comes in goes out. And then verse 19 is kind of the clincher. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. That kind of covers the gamut, right? Jesus has kind of covered the gamut of sin. If you look at these are categories and major categories. So he just kind of, he said, here's what you need to understand. It's out of your heart where sin comes from. A lot of us kind of want to blame shift, right? What did Adam do when God busted him? It's the woman you gave me, Lord, right? He blamed two people, the woman and the Lord. I'm always amazed that God didn't just, done with you. We can start over again. And then what did the woman say? It's the snake. We all want to blame shift, right? And hey, own your sin. When you own your sin, listen carefully. And you come to the Lord and you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if you hang on to that sin and you try to disguise it and you know, you go wash your hands so you don't look as bad, and you wash your face and you go through that and you put on certain clothes and you put on a certain air and you act a certain way, and inside you're dead, you're in trouble. Own it. And Jesus is saying, listen, man, the evil in the world is because our hearts are messed up. And there's only one remedy, Jesus Christ, and a relationship with him. You know, I loved when we changed, when we went through the year 2000, the millennial. Remember everybody like freaking out? There was all the things. If you were a Christian then, man, there were all of these different theories that everything's gonna, this is the end, this is it. There's all this doomsday stuff. And I remember watching TV and I just thought, I'm gonna see what happens in Australia and then I'll have about 24 hours to prepare. That's what I thought. I mean, if everything goes wacko in Australia, then I know, because they're almost a day ahead, right? And I'm thinking, watch them. So I'm watching TV. And Billy Graham came on, and I'm trying to remember, can't remember the interviewer. What was his name? King? No. Larry King. Yeah, thank you. Larry King. Larry King's, in, like, I never watched him, but Larry King's interviewing Billy Graham, and he says, Billy, can you tell us what's wrong with the world? And Billy goes, well, you know, in his southern thing, you know what's wrong with the world. I've told you before. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I just like hearing you say it. And here's what Billy Graham says, the heart of man. Let's quit blaming everything else. Hey, when you sin, own your sin and confess your sin and quit trying to shift it, quit trying to blame it. Hey, and we need to understand, Jesus is here telling us it's the heart. And our obligation as Christians is to change the world one heart at a time. We want this stuff to stop? Then start telling people about Jesus. And let their heart get changed, and then the world will change. Then he says, verse 20, these are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So all of this to answer that very first question, why don't your guys wash your hands? And the bottom line is, because that's not what defiles you. Now I do have to do a caveat, because there's a few young people. Jesus is not advocating never to wash your hands. Just, you know, I don't want you going home and your mom saying, wash your hands before you eat. Jesus said I didn't have to. So that's not what this is about. So just so you know that. But listen, Proverbs 28, I'm gonna kind of wrap it up with this. Proverbs 28 gives us a little bit of a clue here. It says, he who trusts his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. How do you walk wisely? You get into the Word of God. So I kind of love that these guys showed up in Galilee trying to bust Jesus. It gave him an opportunity to challenge them, but even greater than that, to challenge us. And when I read this passage, I stop and start examining my own heart. And then I pray and ask God, God, I want to follow you. I don't want to follow tradition. I don't want to follow man. I want to follow you. And then I say, God, and let our church be a church that's under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to be. That's how we want to go forward. So it's kind of starting out a new year here. Let's go forward with that. And let's change the world by sharing Jesus. Let's stand up and pray.